This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Welcome to the Insomnia Project. Sit back, relax, and listen as we have a mundane conversation that'll hopefully lull you to a relaxing place. Thank you for joining us. We hope you will listen and sleep. Of course, follow us on our social media, our Instagram, The Insomnia Project, our Twitter, Listen and Sleep. And I'm joined by Amanda Barker.
Hi, thanks for having me again.
And I wanted to talk about a couple of things.
Okay.
First, I want to talk about closing things down for the winter.
Oh.
So, for example, in our backyard, we have patio furniture and whatnot. And because it snows here, we have to take all the patio cushions and all the plants in from outside.
We do have to take the plants. Is a big moment because there's no turning back for me once we bring the plants in. I had left a fern, a poor little silver brake fern outside in a pot, and it started snowing on it yesterday, so I don't know if it'll recover, but
you actually said you don't like that fern. Should I just leave it outside or should we bring it in?
At least you like the pot, if nothing else. I know you don't like it. Ferns are tricky.
I'm not the hugest fan of ferns to begin with.
They shed a lot. They're not very conducive to Canada. I think they're better in a more humid,
moist,
certainly warm climate. But anyway,
what is it you like about ferns?
Well, that one I traded, I think, a necklace or something for it. And I like plants because they clean the air. So ferns are great, actually.
So even for ugly, cleaning the ugly air. Plants you like.
Even an ugly plant will clean the air for you and serve its purpose in the world. And your ugly plant might be somebody else's beautiful plant.
Sure.
Anyway, that fern is in. We'll see if it makes it throughout the winter.
Which of the plants in our house do you currently find to be the ugliest?
Oh, the ugliest plants? I have a spider plant upstairs that's starting to brown on the leaves a little bit. So I've cut the brown off. I'm trying a few different things with it.
If you have a spider plant tip you can give us, please put it on our Twitter page.
I also have a plant. I'm trying to think of what it's
called.
But
your spider plant is doing really well.
Well, one of the... Yeah, I have
the one,
lots.
Like it's
I actually have quite a few, yeah.
It's making a lot of pups, that one, right? That's what they're called when they make little...
Even spider plants, they're called pups? Yeah, I guess. Babies, I think, for spider plants.
I thought they were called pups.
I mean, plant babies are usually called pups, but I think pups are things that have to break through the ground. That's my understanding. Like a snake plant has pups.
Oh, I see.
And okay. They break through the soil and you're like, oh, there's a new one. Okay. Whereas a spider plant, as we know, the babies kind of dangle out and then finally you plant those and put them into.
But what was the plant you were going to mention before I asked you?
I think it's called a palea. It's commonly referred to as a Chinese money plant.
Oh, yes. That one. Yes.
Yeah. And I just wish it would do better, but it just. It continues on, but it will never be the full really full ones are beautiful because they're big, round, circular leaves, look like coins. I think that's why they're called money plants. And
what do yours look like?
Like they're not getting enough light.
Okay.
They kind of reach toward the window. They're not full. They don't come around on all sides. It's leggy. You know, it only seems to have like three or four shoots at a time, and then the old ones will just drop off. Whereas I've seen them and they're very full and very nice.
But not yours.
No. So I don't know if that's ugly, but it certainly isn't living its best life here, despite my best intentions.
And which plants are living their best lives?
Our money plants seem to do well. Not the Chinese money plant, but...
Which one's the money plant?
The tree. There's one behind you. And those then there's tree. One. Yeah.
I see it more.
Well,
so.
Ours are big. Most people's don't have money plants as big as ours. Usually they're small.
I thought that's a tree, not a plant.
That's a plant.
That's just a regular
plant.
Any...
A lot of plants can be a tree. Like, think about my parents. They have a ficus. That's usually a household plant or that can become a tree. Well, previous to them living where they live on a canal in Florida, somebody planted this household plant.
Outside.
And it's perfect weather there for it. It's humid. It's obviously very, very hot, very moist. And that thing is insane. I mean, it's huge.
It's a huge tree. Yeah.
It's massive. They have to, they do a full trim of that tree every year. Several bird species because they live on a bird sanctuary, a bird reserve.
There's a bank of water between them and a bird sanctuary. So like a little
there, and a what's canal. Behind them is a bird sanctuary too.
Oh, I forgot about that. Across the street.
I think so. Yeah.
Okay.
Debatable, but anyway, they're quite surrounded. There's a lot of bird sanctuaries in that area.
I see.
Is the Sebastian Inlet for anybody.
People know it because when I would speak with your father, right. We would talk about it. So
anyway, there's a lot of bird sanctuaries there, and they have a lot of rose tip spoonbills that come there that look like you'd think they were flamingos, but they're actually rose tip spoonbills. They're beautiful creatures. They're white and pink. Anyway, and so they all live in this ficus tree, like, you know.
The spoonbills live there?
They hang out sometimes. Okay. They're pelicans, cranes, a lot of cranes. And they love that huge ficus tree. It's phenomenal.
I've never seen a pelican at your parents' place.
You haven't?
Not a pelican. I've seen it when we're by the water.
Like driving around?
But not near their home. Not in that boot. I think pelicans stay near the open water.
Well, they live near open water. You're talking about the ocean.
Yeah.
Yeah, they live on a canal. Mm-hmm. So, okay, fine.
Have you seen pelicans there?
I maybe not.
I've seen gators.
Yes, you've seen a lot of alligators. There's so many there.
They're so fun.
They're there all the time.
They hang out.
It's a beautiful place. And by that ficus tree that was once a household plant, which is how we got here, they have two beautiful little chairs, Adirondack chairs or Muskoka chairs. So it's a great place to just sit, have a coffee, read a book in the morning, listen to all the birds, and it's quite a view. It's beautiful.
Well, while Amanda deals with the plants that are in her backyard, I often have to deal with the furniture. And so I've got to sort of take the pillows out. I have to cover all the furniture with these canvas tarps.
Are we doing that this year?
I think we are.
Or are we going to try and use our back deck as a place to hang out?
Because
we do
have
the fire table.
I'm going to try to do it so that they're covered, but we can also use it.
I'm going to strategically
cover our furniture with canvas,
okay,
but so we can still use it to sit and put things on as a table.
Yeah,
and then
I
take the pillows that ordinarily sit on all the patio, what would you call it, like the loungy kind of area. What is that called?
Patio furniture.
But it's like segmented seats or...
I guess it's not a couch. It's like... Well, there's the table and then the cushions for the chairs at the table. And then there's, patio furniture. I don't know. There are four individual chairs that we kind of push together to make sort of a chair and a couch or four chairs or two and two.
So the pillows are quite large and they take up a lot of space, but we can't leave those pillows outside.
No, we take them in all the time. It's quite a dance in the summer. I don't know how other people do it or deal with it, but for us, the constant taking of patio of, you know, like you see the first patter of rain, and then it's like, is it going to be a hard rain? And they're quite thick, our cushions.
Yeah.
So are they going to be soaked? And if they're soaked, they're soaked for days, or do we leave them out there? Is it going to be just a sprinkling?
So then when we go through this transitional period into winter, I take them, and we have a little nook under our stairwell that we sort of
little storage area. Yeah.
Storage area that we walled off, I guess you could say. Mm-hmm. So it has
originally it was going to be cubbies.
Right.
That was the first plan when we kind of redid the basement, and I had in the architect's plan, it was all cubbies, and that's great for like shoes and things like that. But then when I realized what we really needed storage for was, you know, 6 months
summer
out of the
stuff,
year. Yeah. Are these massive cushions? So cubbies weren't going to cut it.
So then it becomes a Tetris game for me and the sort of triangular shape under the stairs.
Thank you.
To put this large pile that's about, I would say, 4.5 feet tall.
Yeah, it's a lot. And cushions are things that multiply in houses. Like, you know, you every summer, every spring, every season, you want kind of new, fresh cushions. And then next thing you know, you're just swimming in pillows and cushions.
And you're a lover of pillows. We have a lot of just decorative pillows.
No, I think I'm a medium in pillow land.
Really? Uh-huh.
Well, you get tired of the same pillows. They lose their oomph. You want new cushions. New cushions are the easiest and cheapest way to sort of brighten up a room or change it.
Okay.
Anybody will tell you that.
All right.
Plus, I like cushions. I like to be cushioned in my watching of TV, in my binge watching. I like to be cushioned.
Now, I also wanted to talk about something. Speaking of transitions, a thing called the self-tape.
We weren't speaking about transitions. We were speaking about cushioning.
We did talk about transitioning winter, or you're transitioning into winter regarding patio.
Okay.
Unless you have more patio information.
I can talk patio furniture all night long.
Please.
Well, okay. One of the things that I'm finding tricky is the solar lamp situations. So you buy these, we have like these lanterns that have sort of like a solar candle inside, and
they're beautiful looking.
They're great. I got them at Target before Target went under in Canada. So I got them for a song, as they say, but they have sort of solar panels on the top of them that charge the little candle. But they all kind of worked the first year. And then I don't know if anyone else notices with solar stuff, after a time, it kind of stops working, and then you replace the batteries.
I replace the batteries, so they have fresh batteries in
there.
And they
just
still
stop working.
What it's supposed to do is get the sunlight during the day.
Yeah.
And then at night, the candle portion illuminates.
You know, we live in a townhouse. Our back area has a big tree that shades a lot of things, which makes it really lovely and tolerable sort of during the day, so that it's not full sun in the summer. But, you know, I think the downside of that is you just don't get a ton of light. So you're always trying to navigate that, I think, with these solar lights.
Although the ones that are frog ones,
which I never loved. I think you bought those.
I got them. They were majorly on sale.
I'm sure.
At our local grocery store.
You know what? They're cute. I don't mind them.
They're little frogs that have a light inside them.
I'm not one for like ornaments, tchotchkes or tchotchkas. I never know how to say it.
And see, I am. So I thought those little frogs would be nice by the tree.
And I thought, where did these frogs come from? I don't need frogs out here. There's enough going on.
And I think there's not enough going on. But the frogs do light up, so their bellies kind of
light
up.
They do light up, so there's that. Yeah. I'm still trying to figure out how to deal with these solar, because I don't want to throw out, I have like 8 or 9 of these lamps. I don't want to throw them out, but they're kind of just decorative because they're not actually illuminating at night, which was the point of them. And our chandelier when I was, I love to obsess about a room and redo rooms. That's what keeps me sane. And we have a chandelier that hangs from our big maple tree out there that kind of dangles in the little seating area. I got that at Habitat for Humanity, the Restock, is that what it's called?
Store? Restore.
Restore.
So it's like a charity shop. Donated,
yeah.
It's a charity shop that sells home refurbished or donated home furnishings.
And
anything from your refrigerator to panes of glass, doors, yeah, faucets, you name it, you'll find it.
Kitchen,
in that.
Yeah. Cabinets.
Yeah.
Also.
Basically, when people redo their homes, oftentimes, if they have good quality things that they're replacing,
yeah,
they'll bring it and donate it to.
I actually filmed a public service announcement about just donating when you redo your kitchen to donate, right, your cabinets and so on. And bathroom stuff like vanities and things, yes, like that. Especially, you know, a lot of times things come with what people call builder basic. So pretty basic looking vanity or basic cabinets. And then, you know, you move in and you want your own touch on it.
Sure.
So you reno your kitchen or you change up the powder room. And so a lot of that stuff that's quite new and sometimes really plain that you can jazz up on your own if you need to or want to, lives there. So anyway, I got the chandelier from there. And I think the reason it's actually an outdoor chandelier, and I found it online after.
Oh, I have to remove that. I forgot. That's still hanging.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking at it right now.
Oh, no. I need a ladder for that.
Yeah, you do. Do you not have a ladder?
No. I have to borrow one. I have the ladder that we usually use.
Is it up north?
Yeah, it's up north.
Well, we can get it.
Okay. So anyways, I forgot. I need to take it down.
Yeah, that's part of it. I mean, that's fine. But, you know, what's funny is we were so ambitious to close the cottage down this year early. And we have all this stuff here that now it's cold. Anyway, I think it's supposed to be warmer this week, so we can do it later on.
Very well.
Anyway, that chandelier
didn't cost very much.
No, it was $25. But the lights on it have always been tricky because the lights that were originally on it must have been glass and they broke, and that's why that person donated it, I guess. So I put on little mason jars and super glued them in. Super glued them or?
No, I use a putty to hold them in place. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. But then we weren't getting much light from the LED that's in there. So then,
because the light shoots up, and
right,
because the LED lights that are battery run don't have the strength because,
right,
they're the small little pucks.
Yeah, it's not like a bulb.
Right. So they would shoot up, but you wouldn't see it. So what I did was I painted the inside of those mason jars, the top, or if you look at it as a jar, the bottom of the mason jar with gold leaf.
You painted it or you put in gold leaf?
Well, I put glue and then I applied,
okay,
the gold leaf.
Yeah. Yeah, you gold. Okay.
I gold leafed the bottom so that when the light would hit it, it would refract from the gold, mm-hmm, luminous sheen down towards us.
And but that
still doesn't cast a lot of light.
No, it really does. That was my brother's idea. He's a lighting designer.
Mm-hmm.
What? Why?
No. It was his idea.
Yeah. Well, he's a mechanic at heart, so he suggested we put aluminum foil. We went a little bit more high end with the gold leaf, but even still,
I would have done aluminum foil, but I just didn't know how to make it adhere.
Right.
But I knew I had some gold leaf from a project,
which
where
was a great idea, and I love gold. But we still haven't figured out the way to make those LEDs be bright. I mean, maybe that's why it was donated. So I love having a chandelier out there, but it never casts quite as much light as I want it to.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a very good problem to have in the world of problems. But we also have a fire table out there. And I guess we're going to try and use that during the winter?
I guess, yeah.
Okay.
It's like a little fire. It's a little...
like gas fire thing.
Yeah, it's a propane fire.
Once again, somebody got it on major sale.
Yeah.
And it was the last one. So... yeah, all my patio furniture I bought at the end of the season because that's the only time to buy it because it's
surprisingly expensive.
It's so expensive.
Furniture.
But it makes sense because it has to, I mean, for us, we don't have anywhere to store it. It has to stay outside all winter.
Mm-hmm.
So even though you do an amazing job wrapping it up, in, what do you wrap it up in? Like,
it's a canvas tarp that I purchased online. Yeah,
I see.
I didn't know how else, otherwise I would be using dollar store tarps.
Right.
And they're more plasticky.
Right.
But they were so hard to, it just took me a long time and a lot of rope to secure it.
Right.
And so when I found these canvas tarps online that are designed for patio furniture,
mm-hmm.
I thought, oh, this is the way to go because it kind of is already molded in the shape of your table or your chair or your chair. So you can just lay it on there and it'll protect your furniture. So that's what I went with. But if you're going to do that, make sure you get the proper sizes because I've got one that's a bit too big.
Mm-hmm.
And so it becomes problematic.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess that's everything that's out there. We have a tree growing back there, so we had to sort of build the wooden deck around it kind of thing because we weren't going to chop it down. It's a Norway maple.
That's right.
I think we talked about it on here before.
We have. We need to cut some of the limbs that are kind of...
Oh, you better get that. Better borrow that ladder then.
I know, but I can't. It's too late in the season to cut. I have to cut early in the spring now.
Next year.
Oh my goodness! So much for a little postage stamp of a backyard.
I know.
It almost seems
barely,
like
it's not a yard. It's a deck.
It's a deck. Yeah. It's a tiny deck in the city.
And
then we have the steepest steps that go from our deck to the little alleyway. They're so steep.
And every time somebody goes on them, we fear for them. And say, they're steeper than you think.
And they're shorter than you think. So that the step is actually not the right
legal. Listen, they're not the safest steps. And they have been broken by somebody.
I have to replace one of the steps.
Yeah, so that doesn't help.
Doesn't help. But we love our backyard.
We do. And having the steps, even though they are steep and a little precarious, is great. Because then we have access to our car, which we don't have underground parking. So trying to get out there is not easy. It's quite a process to wrap all that stuff. And don't you like tape it up too?
I use rope. I rope it up underneath so that it won't flap away.
Mm-hmm.
But the hardest thing I find is that on some of the things I tarp, it will pool with water and then freeze. And so I have this pool of water on some of the...
And even though it's secure, how does the water get in?
It just gets heavy when the snow lands on it. It gets heavy.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's an indentation in whatever I'm wrapping...
Right.
Because sometimes I'll put the couch chairs on top of each other just so that it's more compact. So the underside of one of the chairs is hollow.
Mm-hmm.
And so it will dip.
Okay.
Even though I always make it very, very taut and tight when I secure it. Eventually, the weight of the snow will cause it to sort of well and be weighted, and it'll start to cause a little bit of a pool there once it gets warm. Yeah. So
we have so many ferocious squirrels out there.
Oh, our backyard! I don't know what your listeners' backyard, what crazy animals you might have. But for some reason, the city of Toronto, one interesting thing about the city of Toronto that many visitors remark on is we have black squirrels.
Yeah, it's actually not just Toronto, it's Ontario. First time I ever went to Ontario, so I was in my first trip to Ontario was in 1993 in the fall in Kingston, Ontario. And the thing I remember, I was in a tall building and I remember looking down in a grassy park and seeing these big black, bushy-tailed creatures and going, are those squirrels? They're huge.
Yeah.
I had never seen squirrels.
Because you're used to the brown and gray squirrels?
Yeah, I'm used to squirrels being cute and like a cousin, like an older cousin to a chipmunk.
Right.
I'm not used to them being... Even our gray squirrels are huge here. They're massive beasts. I had never seen squirrels that big. Like the fact that I could see them from a tall, like a window that was like 10 stories up,
right,
or whatever, was shocking to me. And they seem to be everywhere and fearless too. And cut to almost 30 years later, and here I am living in Ontario, and they're just as big and as ferocious as I always thought.
They come and they dig up anything we plant. So if I had little planters,
with
some herbs, and they just like to come and dig everything up and make a mess.
But we have new animal visitors that visited us.
That's right.
This year, I'm not sure how you feel about them. They are pigeons. So we were in the summer enjoying a socially distant moment with some friends on the back deck at quite a distance. And so they were sort of looking and they saw this one pigeon and said, it hasn't moved in almost an hour. And then we looked and it moved and we thought, okay, it's just sleeping. Well, what that pigeon was doing was laying two pigeon eggs, I guess. Do pigeons have eggs? They must.
Yes, all birds do, yeah.
Okay, so that's what I've never seen a pigeon egg, but that's what it was doing. And a few weeks later, to a little pigeon, we could hear little cries from little babies outside our bedroom window. And I thought, that pigeon had babies. And so we have two pigeons. Now they're fully formed. They were named by our nephew. He named them Pidgey and Piggy. He likes to name things the names that sound like the thing. Yeah, so, for example, a squirrel, he'd probably name Squirrely.
And squirrels.
That's how he rolls.
We have Pidgey and Piggy, and they coo every morning.
They coo every morning, and at first it was all really cute. But, you know, they do need to go to, as we say in America, the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
As we say in Canada, the washroom.
Yes.
Or the restroom, or the WC. Anyway, so cleaning up after them has not been fun, and also, I don't know, I think they're quite intent on staying with us, so I'm not sure what to do about that, because they're quite high up. They're up in, like, the gutter.
I need an even longer ladder to deal with them. Or at least to secure that area so next year we don't have any more.
They were awfully cute when they were little, but you know, they're not little anymore, and I'm worried they're going to lay their own eggs now and live their best life with us. And I have to say, like, sitting outside my office, which is next to the window where they are, it was nice hearing them. It was nice having some life.
Friends.
Yeah, it was nice. I guess I was lonely, because it was nice hearing their little coos. There's something comforting about a cooing pigeon, actually,
sure.
I think.
Sure. Speaking of animals, not quite as comforting as the blue-billed bird.
Rose-tip spoonbill?
The rose-tip spoonbill.
Do you remember? So we stayed with my parents, and that was like, that week was mating season, and their beautiful, serene home in Florida, and every morning at like 5 in the morning, we would hear birds.
That were very loud.
Yeah. They were loud, yeah. But that said, it's always nice to hear birds.
It is true. Mm-hmm. It is true. Well, hopefully the wildlife in our city backyard will calm down and we'll have less of those animals scurrying. We used to have raccoons that would come. That would come on our backyard.
Remember your cousin was visiting from Italy and she got so excited because there was a raccoon in our backyard.
And I was like, no, not raccoons. And then I was able to, the area that they would be able to sneak in, I was able to cover with dirt.
Oh, were you?
Yeah, because it was where our tree was.
Oh.
So where the tree comes out from the deck,
I see.
There was a bit of area.
I was going to say, I didn't see many last summer.
Yeah,
I mean, I see them, but not in our area.
I filled it with dirt so they can't quite crawl.
Yeah.
And this year, thankfully, we didn't run any too, but we noticed a lot of skunks were hanging out this year.
And a possum.
You saw a possum.
Yeah, it walked right past my foot. I was putting out lights for Halloween, and we have a little thing of dancing skeletons, and it was a rainy night, and as I was doing it, I looked and a possum just basically almost brushed my foot, didn't seem to care that I was standing there, kept on her merry way, and went over to our neighbor's house.
Listen, possums are really good though,
apparently.
They take care of a lot of vermin and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
So I've never met a possum I didn't like.
That was the first one I've met, and we got along just fine.
Well, there you go. I hope you got along just fine listening to this episode of The Insomnia Project. We were going to talk about another thing, but we'll save that for the next episode when we talk about certain transitions. But we hope you enjoyed this little venture. What I'll do is I'll take a photo of the money plant that we have.
Sure.
And I'll put it on our Instagram for people to see.
Well, we have two, so you have to pick one.
Yeah, I'll pick one. Okay. I don't know. I'll pick the bigger of the two.
Yeah, well, one is like longer and one is fuller.
Fuller.
Yeah.
So I'll pick one of them and I'll take a picture and I'll put it on our Instagram. Until next time, we hope you were able to enjoy this. Thank you, Amanda, for taking us on a walk of plants and backyard things.
An unexpected journey. You had other plans today.
I did.
But I just wanted to keep talking about the patio furniture.
Okay, so whatever you have in your patio, we hope your transition, if you do have to bring it in, goes smoothly. Until next time, thank you for listening, and we hope you were able to listen and sleep.